acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 168, Regions of Kindness. Thursday, May 4th, 2017. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Each week, I post show notes, photographs, and links to the things I talk about on my website, yarns@yinhu.com. Today's episode features the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, and gratitude journal. I'm not including an ever-expanding skill set segment in this episode, but I did want to announce that we're making tacos in May. I thought it would be perfect with Cinco de Mayo at the beginning of the month. I love tacos, although I really only make two kinds at home, so this will be an opportunity to expand my repertoire a little bit. Maybe some breakfast tacos, definitely some fish tacos at some point, because I really enjoy having those when I dine out, but I've never made them at home. And hopefully my usual turkey tacos will be on the menu. I think I'm going to make those this evening. And at some point, some pulled pork tacos, because those are my absolute hands-down favorites. I look forward to making tacos along with you this month and catch up on some more ingredients and recipes in a future episode. The back porch. I'm almost finished with a pair of socks I've been working on. I just have one toe to complete, so I think it's a good time to talk about this pair of socks I've been knitting during the month of April. I've been using some really beautiful speckled yarn, the first time I've used a yarn like that, dyed by Patrizia of BZB Fibers. She has a great Etsy shop. And the colorway I'm using is Mermaid's Dream. It's a very spring-like combination of pastel colors and really bright pops of color for the speckles. And I'm knitting these on US size 0 DPNs. I've been working on creating a sock recipe that's perfect for my foot and trying different things along the way. So each time I knit a pair of socks, I do some techniques that I've already done and add some additional ones. For these socks, I began with a tubular cast on and knit one by one rib for about 16 rounds. And then I switched to 3x1 rib for 36 rounds. And then I did a very traditional heel flap and a heel turn. And then I used Christy Payne's double gusset. After the double gusset, I knit about 2 inches of 1x1 rib just on the bottom of the foot and continued that 3x1 rib on the top. And then for the first time, I used a star toe because I had seen Fernanda finishing her socks with a star toe at the Knit Local retreat. And I thought, oh, that's a good technique that I should try. And it's really handy when it's not convenient or you don't have the quiet and thinking time that I require anyway to do a Kitchener bind off. And I really like these socks. I think that I should have left a little bit more room for the star toe because they closed up a little bit early. So I think that starting the star toe a little bit later than I have traditionally begun the toe for a sock would be important for fit. Also, since episode 163, when I talked about using a double gusset heel, I got a Ravelry comment from the author of that double gusset heel. She's Christy Payne, Turtle Girl 76 on Ravelry. And she said, she made 2 points. One, she said, this heel is for any type of foot. I had indicated that I thought it was good for a wide instep. It's not necessarily meant for a wide instep in particular. It is, however, a great heel for those with a high arch. The average foot will benefit as well. Don't think your heel needs a hug? You'd be surprised. And I agree. I think that extra cupping of the heel and the room that it gives on the top of the foot is really excellent for fit. And I think combined with some ribbing in the sock pattern, it's a great idea for making socks for someone whose foot you don't really have access to, or you're not going to ask them to try on a sock or something like that. The second point she makes is that the decreases happen at the same rate as for a regular heel flap and gusset. You're just doing them on the bottom of the foot rather than the sides. This is still difficult for me to work out because I'm relatively new at sock knitting, so turning around the architecture in my mind is still a little bit challenging. But then she said, the second gusset may or may not be necessary depending on the number of stitches you picked up along the heel flap. And that is making sense to me because for this pair of socks that I have just completed, I think I may have made my heel flap a little bit too long. And I didn't necessarily need to knit that many rows. And then I have a habit of picking up some additional stitches when I pick up everything to start knitting in the round again. And so I had a lot of extra stitches, which was, it was really handy that I knew the double gusset because it allowed me to make 2 strides towards getting all of that seamed up and starting to knit in the round again. But in my next pair of socks, I think I will not knit a heel flap that's quite so long. And I think I'll try to time it so that I just need that single gusset on the bottom of the foot. And that will actually help the fit for my foot be a little bit better. So I think these socks will end up being a gift, and that I will just have to order a little bit more yarn from Patrizia and try another pair for myself at some point and use some of these tips. So I want to thank Christy for adding these notes about the double gusset, and I will link to them in the episode notes. And I encourage anyone who has been knitting socks for a while, and a lot of times you're very interested in trying some new techniques for socks, I would encourage you to try a double gusset heel. It's really interesting the way it pulls together. I've heard Emily of Fibertown mention that some folks call it a riverbed heel. I think that's the term she used. And that really accurately defines the look of this heel on the bottom of the foot. And it has truly a different kind of fit. So I encourage you to give it a try. The front porch. I've cast on a second knit top for the summer top make along, and I have plans. I'm dreaming and scheming about a third top, and my plans have shifted a little bit. So for now, I've cast on Jasmine Tea. It's a pattern by Amanda Bell. I think it's a wonderful pattern for a summer top. But the top I'm going to make will probably be more useful for fall and winter because I'm knitting it out of alpaca yarn and Wensleydale yarn, both from Blacker. And so far, I have not really followed any pattern directions. I'm going to use Amanda Bell's pattern primarily for a beautiful lace top in a contrasting color with some tiny little buttons sewn on the shoulder. So I'm holding Blacker Yarn's 2-3 ply alpaca double. And this is in a gorgeous Merlot color. I was given a gift of this yarn from Claire of the Woolly Thistle. And I love the way it's knitting up, held double. It has a beautiful plush look to it, a little bit of a halo. I've cast on actually with the contrasting color. So I cast on with Devon Gray Wensleydale. It says it's a fingering weight yarn, but it's so fine in its ply that I think it's more of a lace weight yarn with quite a bit of halo. The reason I cast on with the contrasting color is that, one, I had been seeing so many images of the Busta Beanie with a contrasting color cast on that I think I was swept away. And also with the tubular cast on, I just thought it would be really, really difficult to do that cast on with yarn held double. I thought I would be splitting stitches or dropping something, and I was really worried about that. In retrospect, I could have cast on using a tubular cast on with just one strand of that alpaca, and it probably would have worked out fine, but I did not think about that until the ribbing of this top was complete. And I enjoy doing a tubular cast on, so it was really no sweat. I cast on 200 stitches. I did 1x1 rib for, I'm not sure, I guess 1.5 to 2 inches. And then I did one round of knitting where I decreased 10 stitches because the measurement or the cast on for the top that I've been knitting that works well is 190 stitches on a US size 4 needle. So I just thought I needed a few extra stitches for that ribbing so it wasn't too tight, and then I decreased. And also in that round where I did the decreases, I added 3 purl stitches on either side to create a faux side seam. And so far I've just, you know, been going around and around and around in stockinette. And the only other thing that I've been doing with that knitting is I have decreased 4 times over a period of about 4 inches or so to create a little bit of shaping at the waist. So I've had 4 decrease rounds, and then I knit quite a few rounds with no increases or decreases. And I'm at the point where I have just started increasing again for the bust. I think the yarn is working up beautifully. This is akin to sock knitting because there's so much stockinette in the round. And I'm really enjoying the fabric that I'm creating. So this Jasmine Tea by Amanda Bell on a US size 4 needle is working up nicely. It's, you know, it's slow going on that fine gauge, but that's fine. I had plans to knit, I don't even remember the name of it now, but I had talked about it in a previous episode. I have some lace weight merino yarn, Ella Ray lace weight merino, that I bought on very deep discount at a local yarn shop, Mountain Knits and Pearls. And I had a plan for this yarn, which I have shifted gears, and I'm going in the direction of a pattern that Mary Beth told me about at our knit local retreat called Tsumu Tsikaze. It's in a collection of 5 summer tops by Michio. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Of course, I will link to it in the show notes. All of these tops are knit in a beautiful new yarn with a number of different fibers in it, and has a lovely drape and sheen, really perfect for summer tops. but I just fell in love with the shape of this garment. I wear knit tops that sort of fit this description all of the time. It has a really relaxed fit, and it creates an interesting kind of faux sleeve that drops very low near the elbow. And then this particular top has a swirling motion around the waist, and this tsumu zikazi is translated into whirlwind, and that's supposed to capture this feeling of the fabric swirling about the waist. I think this will pair very nicely with some of the skirts I've sewn, and I'm really looking forward to knitting it. So my first plan is to knit one with this Ella Rae lace merino. Probably I will need to alternate skeins because it's quite a variegated yarn. But then I have plans to knit it also in Blacker Yarns Samite, and I will be ordering some of that from the Woolly Thistle. I've been thinking about this Samite yarn quite a bit, but have resisted ordering because I didn't know exactly what I was going to knit with it. But I think this yarn will be a really perfect pairing with this pattern and make a beautiful all-season top. I think this will be nice in the warmer months and could also be a little bit of a layering piece in the cooler months. So once again, the patterns I mentioned are Jasmine Tea by Amanda Bell and Tsumu Zikazi by Michio, and it's in a collection of 5 patterns, but you can also purchase it separately. My pattern is a gift from Mary Beth, and I am very eager to cast that on and let you know how it's going. There's still plenty of time to join in the Summer Tops make-along. It extends until the first day of summer, and many folks are using hashtag SummerTopsMAL to tag their posts on social media. You're welcome to knit, crochet, sew, embellish, upcycle, and there's great conversation going on the Ravelry thread, so join in. Gratitude Journal. I could not have felt more fortunate than I did last weekend as I was driving home from the Knit Local getaway. After spending time with 19 incredible women, skilled, thoughtful, funny, creative, it was so inspiring to spend the weekend with them, and any description of the weekend will, of course, be inadequate. But as the host of a retreat, I feel like my task is to provide a bit of a structure, to think about the essentials as much as I can, and then to step back and allow all of those interpersonal connections to just build on themselves to create the weekend. I could not have been more fortunate in the folks who attended. There were return visitors from last year, as well as new folks taking part in this getaway for the first time. And I just so much enjoyed our time together and all the energy and excitement that we had last weekend. I'm already missing everyone. I thought I'd talk about a few of the highlights. We began with a communal supper, and everyone was just great about helping to bring supplies and snacks and food, and we all arrived in a much more timely fashion than last year. Some folks had other obligations and were really late to get there. This year, everyone was there by dinner time, and I think it really helped the cohesive feeling of the retreat. We also had a few guests who were not participating in the retreat, but I had invited. Mary Jean Packer came by early on in the afternoon and gave us some really fabulous tips about the farm, the tour, and what would be available at Battenkill Fiber Mill. And then Carol of Foster Sheep Farm and Mary Jane, who both contributed some of the very nice things that I was able to include in our goodie bag. They came by to have dinner with us and chat with everyone, and so did Diane, who is a local of Washington County and a podcast listener. And Diane brought 2 dozen eggs for our spirit basket, our very successful spirit basket, which I'll talk about a little more in a few moments. And that was really nice for everyone to join in and have a really great supper. We also had an ongoing swap table, a very generous swap table. I picked up quite a few things from there, and I think most other participants did too. And that was really lively and a great chance to start a lot of conversations. Of course, we had the tour and shopping, and I think members of our group visited every spot on the tour at some point. We traveled more or less together, but then broke off on our own, and there were various intersections throughout the day and a lot of shopping. So we talked about some of our purchases in the evening. On Saturday afternoon, Jessica led us in some indigo dyeing. She had made muslin and cotton project bags for us, and then she created an indigo vat and led us in some dyeing tips. She had some wonderful books for us to look at and get ideas, and everyone was able to dye their indigo bag. I have some good footage on Instagram of these bags, and I think some of the participants have posted photographs as well. And then, because we hadn't exhausted the dye vat, some folks dyed some additional garments and bags. Allison dyed her really gorgeous field bag. I can't wait to see the final results of that. And then we went, back in for some more knitting. And I think most people dined in. Either they brought food that they had picked up on the tour or ordered in, and we were able to spend a lot more time together on Saturday evening, which was really nice. We also had, as I mentioned, a spirit basket, and I asked everyone to bring an item to put in the spirit basket, and we would raffle off that basket and raise some money for a local charity. Our charity is the Washington County 4-H Clubs. And because of the generous donations, we had not one but 3 installments of the spirit basket. Mary Beth was instrumental in dividing up 3 different lots, and people purchased tickets for those separately. And we were able to raise $470 for those 4-H children. And that feels really good and is a great way of giving back directly to the area where we enjoyed our time so much. I'll talk a little bit about my own purchases. Mary Beth and I stopped by Foster Sheep Farm early on Friday afternoon. Maybe it wasn't even afternoon yet, because I was picking up the soaps, beautiful soaps from Mary Jane Peltzer, and Carol had agreed to contribute some samples of a new yarn that she's dyed. It's a really fantastic yarn for socks. And then, of course, we did a little bit of pre-weekend shopping, and Carol had put together some incredible kits for the Busta beanie with a main color and 2 contrasting colors. These were just irresistible. We each purchased one, and if you have a chance at Maryland Sheep and Wool or New Hampshire Sheep and Wool, Carol will have these available, and I highly recommend them. Her dyeing is just gorgeous, and the color combinations she's put together are wonderful. So that was my first purchase before the weekend even got rolling. And then at Battenkill Fiber Mill, I expected to be buying yarn for the Tivara. It's a pattern in one of the recent pom-pom issues. But Mary Jean had some Shetland yarn that she had spun at the mill for another customer who was not able to purchase all of the skeins she spun, and so she was selling them off. And this is just the perfect yarn for the second Bressa dress that I want to knit, because I've been thinking about Shetland. I thought maybe I would end up with a Bartlett sport cone, but this yarn from Battenkill Fiber Mill is absolutely perfect. It's in a sport weight. It's about 260 yards per 4 ounces, which matches up perfectly with the hand spinning I did of the fleece from Eloise. And now that I know the color of the main color of this dress, which is kind of a beautiful fawn color, I'll have to look in my fleece and fiber source book to find out the appropriate term for this color of Shetland. I'm not familiar enough to name it without doing a bit of research, but it's a beautiful fawn brown color. And now that I know that, I can consider what dyes I might use for the color work yoke of this dress. Some of the yarn from Eloise I'm going to leave undyed. I have a quite pristine, glossy cream, and then a very heathery gray. But the ones in the skeins in between, I think I will use some dye, and I'll have to think about what colors would be good. But I just, this is going to be wonderful, wonderful to knit up. And learning my lesson from my last Battenkill purchase, I purchased more than enough yarn for this project, so I don't have to worry about running out. My third purchase was from Carol Law Conklin. She had some of her things on display at Dancing U Farm, which gets more beautiful every time we visit. And not everyone, but quite a few of us were able to end our weekend at Dancing U Farm with their beautiful lunch and farm tour. And each year, the demonstrations and the little shop at the front of this barn becomes even more detailed. There's even more on display and for sale than the year prior. Carol had some of her beautiful note cards and some silk scarves and some trivets on display. I always end up shopping with her and then buying gifts, but this year I decided to make a purchase for my house. And she had a really lovely trivet, a hot plate, and all of her things have prints of her wonderful batik dyeing. And this one had a fish in kind of a fish bowl with a landscape, which I thought was the perfect thing for Yin Hu. Many of Carol's batiks take as their subject the landscape of Washington County, where she resides. And she vends at quite a few fiber festivals, including New York Sheep and Wool. So if you ever have a chance, look her up. It's Amity Farm Batiks. She also sells on Etsy. So I was really pleased to take something home from Carol that I can keep in my own home. And some note cards, of course. Oh, like I said, any review of a retreat is always inadequate in so many ways. But I thought a lot on my commute this week, reflecting on our time in Washington County, and tried to maybe draw some conclusions about the importance of an event like that. And I've been thinking also a lot about this poem, Kindness, by Naomi Shihab Nye, because I've been memorizing it over the month of April. And there are a few really powerful parts to this poem that have helped me memorize it. The first one has to do with landscape. It's a favorite topic of mine. I used it as the spine for my MFA thesis and thinking about poetry and landscape. And in Naomi Nye's poem, there are these few lines that go, "Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so that you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness." That's the opening to the poem, and the more I think about it, it's kind of a lot of sad and desperate aspects to this poem, and I think understanding that is really part of understanding how valuable and important kindness is. That's the thesis of the whole poem. But I kept thinking about these regions of kindness. And to me, that is what a great retreat experience is about. It's about finding and taking part in a region of kindness that's like this luxurious stop when you're traveling on a bus through the landscape. A lot of it is, it can be grueling, it can be a little bit desolate, lonely, but when you arrive at these regions of kindness, you feel like everyone there could be your friend. You feel like you can unapologetically be yourself and you can really enjoy the experience. That's what the Knit Local Retreat feels like for me, and that's what I hope to provide in terms of a structure for everyone who attends. And so my prompt for you this week is to think about, where are your regions of kindness? Tell us about one. Maybe it has to do with knitting or fiber arts, or maybe it has to do with something else entirely. But where do you go where it feels like everyone knows your name, you know, you feel comfortable, and that you can be unapologetically yourself? I think people are at their most beautiful when they feel that way. And I will be giving away at least one of these really wonderful quilted bags from Fernanda, because she was so kind to bring them and then she wouldn't take any of the extras home with her. And I also have a little goodie bag from our retreat for a lucky participant in this thread. So just find episode 168, Regions of Kindness on Ravelry, and contribute a comment about your region of kindness, where you feel at home and safe and alive. And when I record the next episode, I will draw for this prize.
Acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves lay down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stone to sand. It's a sweet nature, sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. Chipmunk on the lawn, six turkeys up in munching like fat hogs. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing.